Today is a Vision Sunday at New Life Church. What is a Vision Sunday? It's a Sunday when we talk about what we see God trying to do at New Life Church in the next couple of years. What I want to do is, I want to start with Jonah, reading Jonah chapter 1, verse 1 through 7, and then tell you kind of a Jonah story. How many of you know the Jonah story? Okay, nice. All right, let's read some scriptures and then we'll get right into our vision. The Lord gave this message to Jonah, son of Amittai. Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh. Announce my judgment against it because I have seen how wicked its people are. But Jonah got up and went the opposite direction. He went to the opposite direction to get away from the Lord. He went down to the port of Joppa, where he found a ship leaving to Tarshish. He bought a ticket and went on board, hoping to escape from the Lord by sailing to Tarsus. But the Lord hurled a powerful wind over the sea, causing a violent storm that threatened to break the ship apart. Fearing for their lives, the desperate sailors shouted to the gods for help and threw cargo overboard to lighten the ship. But all this time, Jonah was sound asleep down in the hold. So the captain went down after him. "How can you sleep at a time like this?" he shouted. "Get up and pray to your God. Maybe he will pay attention to us and spare our lives." Then the crew cast lots to see which of them had offended the gods and caused this terrible storm. When they did this, the lots identified Jonah as the culprit. All right. Today is a Vision Sunday. God gave Jonah a vision. Jonah was a prophet, right? But he never really got it. That's the truth. So Jonah was a prophet. He was an Israelite. In those days, Israelites and Assyrians, where Nineveh was, were mortal enemies. Even today, those people are still enemies after 3,000 years later. So you can imagine. God says to Jonah, he says, "Jonah, there's a city called Nineveh, and there are pagans there. I'm about to destroy that city. They're about to die. They're so wicked. I can't see this going any longer." We know that God said the same thing about Sodom and Gomorrah. Remember that? He said their wickedness have reached the heaven. Okay? When the water gets hot and hot and hot, when it reaches 111 degrees, it's when it's reached its tipping point. One more degree and it starts boiling. When the wickedness of people reaches that height, God says, "I'm about to destroy them." But God is a merciful God. In this story, we see that. We see even in Sodom and Gomorrah, we see this, that God loves to save people. And so what he does is he uses his servant, Jonah, the Israelite, and he says, "Go into Nineveh and preach to them. In 40 more days, and Nineveh will be destroyed." Well, Jonah was an interesting guy. He's like my brother. I love him to death, but he loves to do this. "Hey, you want to go hang out sometimes?" He's like, Yeah, let's do it. "When?" "Well, let's do it right now." And you're like, "Okay, let's meet up there and there." And you show up and he's not there. And you call him and text him and he doesn't answer. Like my brother. And my brother does this all the time. I'm not going to mention any names. It's not you, Eli. No. I got two brothers here. And so Jonah is the same type of a guy. God says to Jonah, "Here's the vision. Go to Nineveh. There's 120,000 people plus children, okay? I want to save them, but if they don't repent, I'm going to destroy them." And Jonah says, "Okay, God, yeah, I got you. And he goes in the opposite direction, Bible says. God gives him an assignment. God gives him a vision. And he goes into the opposite direction. He gets in a ship and starts sailing. Well, God says, "Well, you think you can get away from me? My brother can get away from me, but you can't get away from God." And so God sends a big storm. And the storm almost shipwrecks this boat that they're going on. And they start praying to all gods they can. Because they're obviously pagan. They're not believers of God of the Bible. And Jonah is sleeping. It reminds me of the church. God gives the church a vision. And there's a storm in the world. Right? And we're just sleeping. We're comfortable. "Hey, I'm saved. What do you want from me? I'm doing good. My family's kind of doing good. Financially, we're okay." So we're sleeping just like Jonah. And God sends the storm and says, "Hey, it's you." So what they do is, like, they ask him, "What should we do with you? Since you're a man of God and you're running from God and God caused this storm because of you, so you must serve a real God. And Jonah says this, throw me overboard. They throw him overboard and a big fish comes and eats him. And Jonah doesn't die in that big fish, which is weird, you know. Why didn't he get, But somebody said he got all his hair shaved off in 3 days. He spent 3 days in that. He had no eyebrows. He had no hair left. Probably all was gone. So for 3 days, he stays in that whale. And I think when we disobey the will of God, and I'm not threatening anything. This is just the facts of reading the Bible. Sometimes we get swallowed by a whale. Right? For some of you, the whale is addiction. Because you're running from the will of God, you don't want to do the will of God, so you fall into addiction. Sometimes God shakes up your family a little bit to get you back on track. Okay? When we run from the will of God, God sometimes will send a whale to swallow us. And Jonah spent not 1 day, not 1 hour, not 2 days, but 3 days in the belly of a whale. He spent it, and Bible hints that he possibly died in the belly of a whale. And God resurrected him. Jesus Christ uses Jonah's story to say that the Son of Man will be like Jonah, who spends 3 days and three nights in the belly of a whale and then will rise up. So there's a clue here that Jonah probably died. But one thing Jonah did in the belly of a whale, he cried out to God. He said, God, I'm sorry. I was trying to do life my own way. I don't like those Ninevites. Jonah was kind of a nationalistic, a racist type of a person. I don't fit in with them. They're Assyrians. They're pagans. And we are Jews, you know, so we're different. God says, I don't care about your nationality. If I'm sending you somewhere, go and do what I'm calling you to do. And so Jonah cried out and prayed. If you could read, there's only three short chapters in the book of Jonah. I would recommend you go home today and read the whole three chapters. You will be inspired by that story. And so God says, okay, I'm going to give you a second chance, but I want my vision to be accomplished. And so Jonah goes to that city and he preaches the gospel in a prophetic type of way. In 40 days, Nineveh will be destroyed, he says. How do you like that kind of gospel? That's not the kind of gospel we preach, right? But really, it's the other side of the coin. The Old Testament gospel, the New Testament gospel is kind of the same, except we preach it from different sides of the coins. In the Old Testament, they said, if you don't repent, judgment will come. Well, in the New Testament, we say God loves you because God is two, right? Two sides. The Bible says God is love on one side of the coin, and he's consuming fire on the other side of the coin. All right? God is a savior, but God is also, the Bible says, will throw people into hell. So it's like, you can't just serve half of a God because you're not serving a real God. You can't just make up a God, the part of a God that you like and say, this is the part I'm going to serve, but this part I don't like. So in the New Testament, we say God loves you. Repent of your sins and he wants to forgive you and his grace is there when you make mistakes and things like that. So that's the New Testament message. The Old Testament is repent or in 40 days you will all die. Don't preach that kind of news today. That's Old Testament. Preach the New Testament gospel. And what happens in this city, the king hears about this gospel, this good, bad news. And he says, we need to do something. We need to repent. The king, his heart was touched. And they repented, Bible says, and they fasted for 3 days. No animal, no child, nobody ate anything for 3 days, or drink anything for 3 days. And Bible says God heard the cry of the people because of their repentance. He said, I will not destroy the city. That's the message of Jonah. What does this have to do with vision? Well, it's a big thing because God has given us a vision. God has given New Life Church an assignment. And that assignment is to bring people far from God closer to Jesus. I grew up in a good church, but a church that had no vision. Okay, we loved God, we worshiped God, but we had no vision. And in my church, there was constant bickering and fighting between the church members, between leadership. It was bad. One time, as a youngster, I went to elders meeting by accident. Somehow I got invited just to do something. And I was like, I never want to be a part of this. There's so much tension here. There's so much bickering and arguing here. And it's all men. It was all men. I grew up in a church. And I started playing piano when I was 14 years old and played for 12 years in the church. So I was kind of in church business. Later, when we got married, God kind of promoted us, and we accidentally became youth pastors. Never wanted to be a pastor, never even dreamed of being a pastor. But one day, my youth pastor, the youth that I was going to, said, hey, can you help out with the youth? And the first assignment he gave me was, we were going to a youth conference in Chicago, Rockford, Illinois. That was the first, do you remember that? That's where we met. And so we were going to this big thing, and he's like, you need to schedule buses. You need to get us 2 15-passenger buses. You need to get it all settled, taken care of. So I helped, and I was good at it, okay? And later he started asking me to help more. And he was in a band, so they would travel to different churches on Sundays. And so he would say, hey, can you, Alex, can you preach something? Just read a scripture and just talk about it. So I'm like, okay, I could do that. And so I started preaching. And before you know it, I was really good at it. It was really good. And then they started inviting me to the big service to preach there. And I guess my messages were memorable, because people still today tell me what messages I preached 14 years ago. Okay? So they remember. I guess I have this way too. They're simple. A child can understand. But they're also rememberable. And so... before you knew it, I became a youth leader. And so when I became a youth leader, I was like, okay, so where are we going to go? As a youth, where are we going to go? And so I started praying, seeking God, and God started saying, hey, I want you to bring some more spiritual life into the youth, because we were kind of dead. And when I took over the youth, we had about 30 people. And what we started doing, we started having kind of mini revivals. In our church, praise and worship was not like this style set up right here for the band. It was a no-no. Drums was from the devil. Guitars we can handle, but not electric guitar. Acoustic, right? And so I would get in a lot of trouble because I put a band together. And they said, no, you cannot have worship at church. I'm like, okay, let's have worship outside. So we went to the park. Remember that, guys? Some of you were there. Andre, Vadim were there. I don't know if Eli was there. Probably. Yeah. And we went to the park. And so what we did was we had a huge worship service in a park. And about 100 plus kids showed up. Well, the brothers heard about it. The brothers. And I get a call from the pastor and says, I want to meet with you. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. You know, not thinking about anything. I come and there's a circle of brothers sitting, looking at me weird, and I'm like, oh, you tricked me. So I come there, and they start just attacking and just start talking, you know, what did you do? That's from the devil. Where are you leading our youth? And that became a regular thing. I was called to the office for the next year and a half. But as I was seeking God, because I was truly seeking God, God began to speak to me. He said, this church is good, but they don't have a vision. And that's where God began to give us a vision. Out of nowhere. People would come to us, Tanya and I, and would say, God is calling you to pastor a church. Out of nowhere. And I'm like, I don't want to be a pastor. When you don't think about. It's like somebody comes to you, and you are a welder, Tom. And somebody says, God wants you to be a cook. You know what I mean? It's like, what? I don't even like cooking for my kids. I make peanut butter and jelly, and that's already work. I sweat by doing that. And that's what it was for me. I was doing business. I was doing good. I just got slowly roped in into the ministry somehow. But I wasn't thinking pastorship. And one day, by accident, my friend from California came, and he said, I want to come to this church right here in this building. And so he's like, you want to come with us? It was a Sunday night service. Pastor Judy had that service. We come here on Sunday night. It was in the summer. And we sit right where you sit, Kevin. Right there, Kevin. And I'm just sitting there, and there's like 20 people here. And this pastor lady comes to me and holds her hand this far, like from Van. And she says to me, first time she met me, I've never met her before, she never met me. She said, God is calling you to be a pastor. What? And so she prays, God is going to use you, and you're going to do this and this and this and this. And as she's praying for me, a warm tunnel, a tornado of some sort, about this big, comes down from the ceiling. I don't see it. It's like a wind turbine. Knocks me down, and I fall like this. I crumble like this, and I fall down. This lady who's standing behind me, she tried to help and me from crumbling. She had a ring, possibly backwards, you know. She cut me with the ring. She got me, man. I'm like, oh. I fall out, and I'm like, whoa, what happened? And I'm in my mind. It's not like I don't remember anything. I remember everything. Something just came, this warm. It was warm. That's what I remember. And it's like the wind, and it knocked me down, and I crumbled. Like everything gave in. Everything. My legs gave up, you know? And then I get up, and I'm like, what? She's like, God is calling you. And I was like, okay, whatever. So after that, we didn't start a church right away or anything. But she kept saying, God has called you to be a pastor. You are a pastor. And I was fighting, but God was putting a vision into my heart. During that next 3 months, from the day that I got that prophecy, God began to speak to me like never before through dreams. I've never had that again. God began to confirm through other people that He's calling me for a work that He wants me to do, Tanya and I. God began to put a vision in my heart. I didn't even know what vision really was. I never had a vision for my life. In our church, they didn't preach vision. And God began to say to me that I want you to reach people who are not churched already. Our church was locked in. We never reached anybody. It was locked in. Not a lot of new people came. We didn't have salvation calls. It was just us. And guess what? We fought. We fought with one another. Everybody kind of, not everybody, but a lot of people hated each other. Right? Because there was no vision. And Bible says when there is no vision, people perish. There's no vision. Well, I didn't know it, but God was putting a vision into me. He said, I don't want you to reach people from other churches. I don't want you to, you know, just be an evangelist. I want you to go and reach the city. There's people who are dying. In this story of Jonah, we have an example of God. When God looks at the city of Sioux Falls, He sees, did you know that only 30% of people in our city go to church? We have about 160,000 people with Sioux Falls, Brandon T. Harrisburg and things like that. That means over 100,000 people don't go to church every Sunday. That means they're not getting closer to Jesus. If they're not getting closer to Jesus, they're probably getting further from Jesus. Do you see what I'm saying? So God says, I don't want you to go to churches. I want you to go to this world, to this city, and reach people. And I fought it for a long time. But then I said, God, fine. If you want me to do this, I will do it. And so we started a church with two other families. This big sanctuary, and there's only like few people here. And we stayed that way for a long time. And then suddenly, about 2 years ago, we suddenly started growing. We started growing because we finally got this vision. I want to ask you a question. Do you want to be a church that's locked in, where everybody fights each other, everybody looks and points each other's mistakes? You want to be a church that sees specks in everybody's eye? Because I can find a speck in every one of your eyes. I know what you did last summer. But I'm not here to be the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit's job is to convict you. And He does. I know He does. My job is to preach the good news. Our job, and see, God doesn't give just one person a vision. When God gives a vision, He brings a group of people to help fulfill that vision. Amen. Amen. What is a vision? Vision is a picture of future of what God wants to do. Vision is seeing also potholes on the road so you can drive around them while others fall into them. Vision is going to the mountaintop and getting a picture of terrain so you can see where you're going. So New Life Church, God has given us a vision. No organization can achieve long-term success without vision. Your life needs a vision. Yeah. Tanya and I, we had a couple of meetings over the last 2 weeks to write down a vision for 2015. Yesterday we met and we talked about what is our vision for 2015. What is our family vision? One of those things, we want to worship God together as a family. We want to have home church. We want to take regular vacations as a family, right? We want to be a family that hangs out all the time and eats together. That's our, you know, once a day we eat together. That's our vision. Family needs a vision. Then we need personal vision. You need a personal vision. Tanya asked us a question yesterday in our little meeting. She said, what do you want to change in 2015 about yourself? What do you want to change? Maybe you need to be more kind. Maybe you need to be more loving. Choose one thing. Maybe you need to be more time conscious. Maybe you waste too much time in front of a TV or a video game. You know, so what is it that you want to achieve? Your work needs a vision. Your job needs a vision. Your career needs a vision. Where are you going? Where is your business going? Where is your career going? Do you have a vision? Also, our church needs a vision. Our church needs a vision because without a vision, we're going to destroy one another. We're going to be the church that picks on each other. You know, maybe you have that picking person in your life that always sees the 1% negative in your life. You know, 99% you're good, but they always mention that 1% that you're not good. I don't like those people. Do you? Right? So God, when God wants to do something great in the world, He gives a person a vision. Every vision from God has a purpose. God doesn't just give you a vision so you can boast and say, that's my vision. See my vision? God gives a vision for a purpose. When God wanted to save the world from the flood, He gave Noah the vision to build an ark. When God wanted to give Abraham children who was childless, he had no children, He gave him a vision. That vision was, look at the stars in heaven. That's what your descendants are going to look like. That's how many you will have. A vision. When God wanted to save Middle East from famine, He gave Joseph a vision. We studied about him, right? He gives a vision. Before God does anything great, He gives a vision. Before God wanted to restore Jerusalem, when it was destroyed, He gave Nehemiah the vision to rebuild the walls and to rebuild the city. Jesus, before He left the earth, He gave disciples the vision. You remember the vision? He said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Whoever believes will be saved. Whoever doesn't believe will be condemned. Right? Jesus said, go into all the world. If you're a Christian, that vision is to you as well. When Jesus wanted to use Peter, after Peter denied Him three times, He gave him a vision. He asked him, Peter, do you love me? Peter says, yes, I love you. What did He tell him to do? Go and feed my sheep. Who are Jesus' sheep? Are those little animals things? No, it's us. We are the sheep. So God says to Peter, Jesus says to Peter, go and feed, go and tend, go and take care of my church. Church is the sheep of Jesus. That's us. Amen? So God gives a vision. Before God sends Apostle Paul, who was a persecutor of the church, He gives him a vision. He says this, you will go to the nations and to Gentiles, and you will suffer much for my name. Gives him a vision. And Paul lives by that vision. God gave Tanya and I a vision. And that vision is bringing people closer to Jesus. Our job here is not to be so much, what do you call that, a social club. Our job is not to correct and rebuke one another. Although sometimes as a pastor I have to do that. Our job as a church is to bring people closer to Jesus. Amen. Imagine with me for a second what our church could look like in a couple of years. Imagine having 2, 3, 4 services here every weekend. Right now we're about filling the first service. I'm looking at 2015. I'm believing God that we will go to 2 services. Meaning we'll have one at 9 o'clock for those who like the early service. And we'll have one at 11 for those of you who like to sleep in. That's the vision. That's where we're going. Imagine that with me. Imagine a church that's full of love. Church that loves one another. You know, Bible says love covers multitudes of sins. Whenever you start seeing all the sins in different people, you stop being loving. Remember when you date somebody, you don't see any mistakes they make. Why? Love. Amen? But then as soon as you get married, you start seeing everything. Amen. I want this church to be happy church, full of joy, full of peace. That's what I see this church being. Okay? Church that's joyful. We put on the garment of joy, a coat of joy. Maybe your life is not perfect, but you don't have to bring negativity upon everybody. You can ask us to pray for you. But even in trials, Bible says rejoice when you fall into different trials and tribulations. Amen. So Bible says we can even be joyful when things are not going good in our life. Why? Because we know we have a home in heaven that's waiting for us. So it doesn't matter how bad it is, we can rejoice of something better that we have prepared for us in heaven. Imagine a church where people are growing spiritually, where you're not the same that you were a year ago, 2 years, 3 years ago. Can you imagine that? Imagine a church that loves to serve, not a selfish church. Jesus said, if you want to be great, if you want to be first, become a servant, become a slave tool. Imagine a church like that, where people have a heart for serving. Imagine a church where people are generous, above measure. You don't have to ask them to give. They just love to give because God has given so much to us. Imagine a church that plants other churches in other locations. Oh, you didn't know that's part of the vision. Yeah, it is. This is not the only place God has put us in. God wants to multiply. I'm sure God is going to raise up pastors here and worship pastors and kids church pastors who he wants to send out into different parts where there's need for church plant. Had a debate on Facebook this week because you saw it, didn't you? Because there's so many churches that are closing every year. We need new churches. Some old churches are dying, but there's still great hunger in our nation, in this world, and there always will be for something real, for something of God. People take pilgrimages to all over the world to experience God. And God says, I want to come in, and I want to live in your heart, and I want you to have experience with me in your heart. Imagine a church that brings thousands of people closer to Jesus. Last year, I'm proud, godly proud, to announce to you that we reached 362 people for Jesus in 2014. 362, three shy of 365, which would have been one a day. And you know who did that? It wasn't me, it was you guys. You guys brought 362 people closer to Jesus. You need to give yourself a hand. I'm going to give you a hand clap. So in the past 4 years, we have brought more than 1,000 people closer to Jesus. Yeah, but there's still 99,000 left in our city. So our work is just beginning. It's a good start, but we're 1% done, 99% to go. Big vision. If you're looking for a church where everybody's bickering and fighting about the carpet or what color of paint we're going to do, that's not the church for you. But if you're looking for a church with a big purpose, with a big vision, when you're looking for a church that wants to make change for eternity, not something we can paint these walls 10 times this year if we wanted to. That doesn't matter. But people who are far from God, who are going to hell, when they find Jesus, when you invite them, they come, they hear the message, the good news of the gospel, and they give their life to Jesus, that changes everything. That changes everything for eternity. And that's what God cares about. We, as a church on the earth, we have the greatest mission there is. That's salvation of people, that's changing lives for eternity. Your house that you build will corrupt, will rot, and in 100 years, they might destroy it and build a mall instead of it, right? Your car will rust, the wheel might come off sometimes, brakes will go bad. Your boat is good, I want one too. And that's all good, God wants to give you those things. But he wants to give you a big vision, a vision that will matter for eternity. We as a church have the most important mission on earth, and that's people. And it's bringing people far from God closer to Jesus. Are you getting excited? Imagine a church that grows to over 1,000 someday. Maybe it's going to happen in 5 years, maybe 10, maybe 20. Maybe when I'm really old and it's finally going to happen. But it's going to happen. As long as I'm faithful to God, as long as you guys are faithful to God, we're going to be a part of that. Some people don't like a big church. Well, as New Life Church, we want to grow bigger and smaller at the same time. What does that mean? We want Sundays to be big and Wednesdays to be small. Or actually, we want Sundays to be big and the rest of the time to be small. That's why we focus so much on life groups. Life groups are relationship-building tools in New Life Church. If you don't have a relationship with people, if you feel like you're alone in this church, it's because you need to join a life group. Because after a couple of weeks, you will know everybody in the church. You will. And you don't just join one time. You join and for 8 weeks. Notice our life groups are not forever. They're just 8 weeks, right? Andy is our life group pastor. He wants to make sure that it's not too long. You don't have to commit to something forever. It's just 8 weeks. You're going to know a lot of people. You're going to have so many relationships you won't know what to do with. I'm telling you. But you have to make an effort. I mean, I could try all I want. Can we be friends? But if you're not available, you're not interested, I can't do anything. Amen. So we want to grow bigger and smaller at the same time. Amen. Listen, if you're afraid of our church growing and how do I express this? Let's say our church is first grade, school grade, and you are first grade. Church grows to second grade, but you stay at the first grade. Church grows to third grade, you stay at the first grade. Well, then, yeah, you will be afraid of the church growing. But imagine if you grow with the church. You know, this year, my vision for myself is to raise up, to find, to discover 10 new leaders in 2015. Because as we're growing, we need more people who can lead different departments, different things. It's my personal goal is to find 10 leaders. Jesus had a personal goal of 12 leaders. Actually, he had more than that. He had 72, right? And 120. But he made it 12. That's the guys he hung out with. That's the guys he had relationship with. Our vision is that every leader reproduces himself and find a few more leaders who, you know, Jesus had his disciples and who he hung out with. I have my people I hang out with. I have my team. But then my team members, they have people they also hang out with. You see what I mean? As we grow bigger, we have to grow smaller too. Because you can't know everybody after a while. So that's what God is doing. So I ask you, don't be afraid for our church to grow. I ask you to grow with it. I ask you to take on leadership position. Do something. I know it's easier to criticize and to complain. And see the speck of how everything is not perfect. But listen, the reason it's not perfect because you're not doing it. If you help us, it's going to be an amazing church. How many of you love New Life Church? We've got an awesome church. So now the question is, how are we going to reach this vision? Well, number one, salvation is the first step of everything we do here. Salvation. We want to see people come from darkness into light. From worshiping the world, the devil, whatever, themselves, to worshiping the true God. That's the first step, okay? How are we going to achieve that first step? Well, God gives a vision to the church. Let me read something for you. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12. It says this. Now, these are the gifts Christ gave to the church. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, and pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do His work and build up, to grow, to build up, to we're not talking this building up the body, okay? To build up the church, the body of Christ. So, pastor's job is to train you, to equip you, to teach you. Your job is to do what? Their responsibility is to equip, that's my, and our leadership team, to responsibility to equip God's people to do His work and build up the church, the body of Christ. So, my job is to train you. Your job is to do the ministry. Whoa. See, everyone is called to ministry. Did you know that? Not everyone is called to a ministry, meaning to be a full-time pastor. But everyone is called to do ministry on a part-time level. As a believer, you have a mission to equip God's people to do His work and build up the church. I know there's a lot of hate toward the church. Church is not perfect. Church is this. Church is that. Church is the bride of Christ. Guys, if some fool talked about your wife like some fool talks about the church, what would you do? Slow motion, just so you can see. Jesus Christ loves the church, Bible says, and gave himself up for her. Not for one person, but for the church, one including. So church is not perfect because we're all messed up. So don't come every Sunday and say, Pastor, you mistaken a word. You said a word, the wrong word. I know, I got an accent. You know how many times I told God I don't fit in here? I said, God, are you for real putting me in to pastor an American church and I have an accent? Couldn't you find somebody else? I don't fit in. Jim tells me all the time, I say words he had to edit out of the sermon because he's like, don't make sense. Right? And I'm like, God, why would you put me here? Because God says, I'm going to do something different. I'm building something eternal where people from all nations, all colors come together because that's what heaven is going to be like. And I want to use you guys as an example. In the last month or so, I got 3 phone calls from different pastors from all over this country who want me to come and talk to their leadership because they want to do what's happening here. God is good. One of those pastors is from 1,000-plus people church. And I'm like, you want me to come talk to you? Yeah, he's like, we want to do what you're doing. We want people from United States. We want people from Spanish-speaking world, from Slavic-speaking world, from African-speaking world, from Arabian, from Asian, all come together and worship Jesus. We are all different. We are all different. I'm different than you. And if anybody should complain that somebody doesn't belong in this church, it's me. Because I really don't. But that's where God comes in. God takes weak, foolish, insignificant of this world. And he just loves to raise him up. He takes Joseph. He takes David from among the sheep and makes him a king of Israel. He takes Peter, a dirty fisherman, and makes him a pillar of the church. That's what God does. So don't you dare say, I don't belong. I don't fit in. None of us do. God takes Apostle Paul, the greatest Jewish philosopher, a very educated Jewish man, and he sends him to Gentiles. And it's like, God, why would you send your best guy to Gentiles? Couldn't you just leave him in Israel? He would fit into culture. God says, don't worry about that. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. So if God says I belong, who am I to say that I don't belong? I do belong. This is my spot. This is where I make the impact in the world. This is where you make the impact in the world. Now, you still have to have a personal vision, but I want to ask you to join this big vision, something bigger than your personal vision, bringing people closer to Jesus, bringing thousands of people closer to Jesus. That doesn't mean they're all going to stay. Even Jesus, when he preached one of his sermons, he said, three seeds fall on the bad soil and one falls on the good soil. So even in Jesus' time, not everybody who heard Jesus followed Jesus. So not everybody's going to maybe stay at our church. But as we don't want to be those Jonas. When God gives a vision. Remember, this is not just my vision. This is your vision now. Because you're in this church. When God gives a vision to Jonah, go and preach the gospel so those 120,000 plus children will be saved. And you disobey him. I don't want to be that one. So what's in it for me? And what's in it for you? Why should I and why should you follow this vision? What's in it for me? For a long time, I was like, this is more problem. Having a church is more drama, more problems than I've ever had in my whole life. Okay? So I'm not looking forward to drama. And it's part of it. It's part of having a church. Okay? There's all kinds of people, different types of people. And by the way, if you need a meeting with me, I'm always available. I just want you to know that because some of you are like, oh, pastor is too busy. You don't have time for me. No, pastor will make time for you. Now, if you make an appointment every day and you complain every day, and I already answered your question, but you still complain, I'm going to say, meet with Andy. I'm always available, always. And I actually do want to meet with you. I do want to hear your stories. I do want to hear your testimonies. So what's in it for me? Money, well, part-time basis here. In my business, I used to make more money, way more money than I make here. So it's not about money. Is it about glory?
If glory has that much of a price, I don't know if I want to do it. So why am I doing this? Is it for fame? I pastored this church when we were 30 people. There was no fame, trust me. No fame. Actually, yeah, it's opposite of that. So why am I doing this? Because I don't want to be disobedient to God. I cried out to him many times. My wife can testify, and some of my leadership team. I told him, I'm not fit for this. This is not what I want to do. Why would you put me in here? And he said, I called you to this. See, when we accept Jesus, we also accept his purpose for our life. You can't just say, I want Jesus, but I don't want his purpose. You can't do that. Paul, the apostle, says, woe to me if I don't preach, because that's what I've been called to do. So would I rather be in business? Yes. And no, not, because why? Because his vision for me now is becoming my vision as well. So now what he said he wants me to do is now becoming. But it took time. It didn't happen overnight. It took time for his vision to become a part. I fought his vision, like Jonah. I fought his vision. I ran away from his vision. Okay? So what's in it for me? I need to be obedient to God. I need to do his will. What's in it for you? What's in it for you? Really? Probably same thing. Being obedient to God. God has put you here. You have a gift that he gave you. And Bible says each one should serve with the gift that he received. If you love God, Bible says, feed my sheep, tend my sheep, take care of people. There's 100,000 people out there who are far from God. I'm telling you. They might say they might say that they know Jesus. They grew up in a Lutheran, Catholic, Presbyterian, Methodist, Pentecostal, Baptist, Mennonite, whatever churches, assemblies. That's what I grew up in. Doesn't matter. But if they're not a part of the body, and this is the body right here, on Sunday morning, on Wednesday night, that's the body. If we're not a part of the body, we're not growing. We're not doing our part. Even my little pinky does something, right? When I drink my tea? Just kidding. Right? There's a function of every person. So imagine a body. Bible says each and every one of you fit somewhere. You have a part to play. You have a part to play. God has a vision for your life. Something big. And I believe we can do it. Do you want a church that has no vision, that doesn't expect anything from you? Do you want a God who says, I'll just save you and forget you? No, I think we want a church that's going somewhere. Our churches, we know where we're going. Point number two, how are we going to fulfill this vision? We're going to teach. When people get saved, that's not enough. We're going to teach people. How do we teach people at this church? How do we make them grow spiritually? Well, Sunday services is how you grow. VIP class is how you grow. Life groups is how you grow in this church. And then you want to grow even further? You need to serve. By serving, you grow even more. Amen? So Sunday sermons, VIP classes, life groups, that's how we grow at New Life Church. Third step, we want to empower you to serve. And I already explained that. So today, I'm giving you a call to the greatest mission on earth. Would you say yes? Isaiah had a vision of God, and he heard a voice. He said, who will go for us? God has a plan. He says, who can I use? And Isaiah said this, here am I, Lord, send me. Jesus said, the harvest is plentiful. 100,000+ people in our city, that's a big harvest. It's plentiful for every church, but the laborers are few. So he says, pray that the Lord of the harvest will send laborers. And we have been doing that as a church. We have been praying, saying, God, send people who will catch this fire, catch this vision. And they're not going to be about what, feed me, Pastor. Oh, I don't think I'm getting fed enough in this church. I need more miracles. How come there's no fire in this church? God says, these signs will follow those who believe. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So when you go and do ministry, God will send miracles. Amen. Amen. It's just part of it. I've seen so many miracles. I can't even start to explain right now how many miracles I've seen over the last 10 years in this church. God is calling this church. And he says, who will go? Who will make a commitment? Who will make a decision and say, God, I want to be a part of this vision. I'm not going to ask you to raise hands today. I'm just going to ask you to look in your heart. Following the vision that God gave me did not ruin my life. It made it better. Following the vision that God gave me made our family better because now we have a purpose bigger than ourselves. Yeah. In the first 5 years, why didn't we get divorced when we had a hell of a marriage? The vision. God gave us a vision and we said, we can't. You just can't, you know? And finally, we worked through those hard years and now we have a great marriage. Not perfect, but good. See, God wants to use you guys. Every one of you. This year, I'm challenging you, if you take and become a part of this vision, make sure that this year you bring at least one person that stays. So it means you might have to bring four people that stays in this church. Stays here every Sunday, weekly. Make a decision to serve. Make a decision to give. Make a decision to be a part of the community. When we have events, come, bring something with you, like potluck stuff, and so we can all have this awesome church that God meant for it to be.